You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. You just heard me. It was one of the recordings that I did for a radio station. Why is it we never like our voice? I mean, I always don't like my voice when I hear that. But anyways, Candy chooses it, and she loves it, and so off we go. Anyways, I want to remind everybody, magazine articles, excerpts, poetry, press releases will be due by the end of this month, and I'm going to be sending out notifications a little bit earlier because it's the holiday time. And, you know, people, you know, they're busy and they forget and all that, but you'd be surprised what I get for the January issue. It's almost like, I mean, I've already gotten some stuff. Can you imagine that? I have this one gentleman who's a featured writer. His stuff's already in. He's not wasting any time because I always send an email. And then, of course, go back to my stars with a Z, psychics.com. We still have our one question for $5, and then we've got for new people, first-time clients. We have the special $10 for 10 minutes. And then everybody on the site gets the member rate, and you really do save a lot, like if you get a 30-minute reading, the break for this time, and it's going to expire on 12/31. So, and you can buy as many minutes as you want. They do not expire. So without further ado, I'm so excited. Can you tell I'm excited to talk to this lady? And I am. But anyways, I want to bring in my guest. Her name is Denise Broadwater, and she did a book called A House with Holes. Welcome, Denise. How are you tonight?
I am so excited, Natalie, to be with you tonight. Talk about this house.
Yes, the house. Now, everybody, I don't know if everybody realizes this, but one of my most favorite cities in the whole world is Charleston. I mean, when I lived in Michigan, my trip down south, I had to spend the day and a night in Charleston. It was a necessity for me. And Denise will share things about it because she is living in that beautiful, historic city. And, of course, my Candy is not far from there either. I mean, her Candy and I are both from South Carolina, so we all know about Charleston. But Charleston has so much history and things that are there that are still there from way back. I mean, the history is unreal. And Denise, you can attest to that. Now, Denise wrote book called The House with Holes, and it's a home that she renovated, and she's going to tell us all about what she walked into and what she took on to do this house. And so, Denise, first of all, I want to ask you, is this the only book you've written? Have you written something else, haven't you?
No, this is a debut book for me. I actually have a book written. This is the second book I've written, but it's the first one published.
Okay.
So I have another book that's waiting in the wings that was written first. I worked with a writing coach on it. It's about my mother's life and my life intertwined. So I'm a memoirist. I like to do true story. Yes, it's a snippet. So it's not biography, but it's more a snippet of your life that you bring in characters and do a story. So, based on truth.
Well,
sorry, it's all true.
Have you on for that one too? Yeah. Now, when are you going to publish that?
Yeah, that one. I hope you know. A lot of it depends on how well this one does. I've had first book. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And the cover. I always tell everybody I like to have the book. So I always usually I don't even have to request a book when I have somebody on my show. But if you see the book, it's like it's got this blue double door, and that's exactly what you would see in Charleston. I mean, it's this pretty blue, my blue, it's Natalie's blue, thank you. And it looks old. I mean, it's an old-looking door, a double door. And around it is this beautiful color, like it's framed. And it just reminds me, it's so much like Charleston. How did the cover come to be? Was that your idea?
You know what? I wanted, I don't know if you know Malcolm Gladwell, he did Blink and What the Dog Saw. So he's a New York best-selling author. But he uses a white book, and he has the print is very, you know, centered. And I just have always liked a white book with a more, you know, something in the center that represents it. And so this artist with the publisher, Mountain View Press, he works for other traditional publishers, though this is a hybrid where it's a combo of independent and traditional. He did this cover for me, and I really, really loved it. The first chapter is A Brick for Christmas, and you'll see there's bricks laying there because we had a brick thrown through the window just a Christmas after we moved in. So.
Well, and I noticed on the pages, like in the right corner at the bottom, you'll have a little notation. I love that. I've never seen that in a book. And that's what gives you a feel of something, I don't want to say old. I like the word historic. I like that feel because that's where you are. Everybody should go. I can't keep promoting. I'll promote Charleston until the sky falls because that's where everybody should go once in their life. And if I ever get
should.
I am going to meet you.
I
want to see this house with holes.
after my book came out, do you know that I had someone from Texas that was here in Charleston, and they came by and took a picture of our house and put it up on social media. I did not know them at all. But someone saw it and shared that with me. And I was like, it was my first drive-by, you know, my first drive-by from the book.
So tell me about the book. Now, because it was a journey for you and it involved your husband and all the you know, trials and tribulation with all of that, and whose idea, where did you come from? Let's start with that. Where were you originally from?
I moved to Charleston, South Carolina, the upstate, at the age of 12, and I'm from Dover, Delaware, originally. So my mother married a Southerner and moved us to Spartanburg County, northern Spartanburg County, just below the mountains of Asheville. And you know, what was interesting then was there weren't many Northerners in that part of South Carolina at that time. And it was like we were from London. I mean, our accent was as different and the culture was so different. And so it was very much a culture shock for us as children. You know, we all, except for one, my oldest sister still was in Delaware, but all the rest of us live in South Carolina. And I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I love this area. But it, you know, when we moved at 12, we weren't thinking that. Think of that. That was middle school. So it took me a few years to adjust, but we sure love it now. So then we moved to South Carolina.
So you moved there and then you settled there. Is that where you met your husband?
Yeah. We met in Pensacola, Florida. No. So we met in Florida. I was in school there. He lived there. And then we moved up to Spartanburg County. And then in 1999, and that would have been about 12 years into our marriage, we moved to Charleston in 1999. It would have been a few years after Hugo hit. And we've lived really all over the area. We've lived on James Island. We've lived out in Monk's Corner, which is a little farther out. And now we live in the downtown. And I have always had this desire to have a small Charleston cottage. And that's what this is.
Well, you have to explain to the audience. Yeah. I mean, because most people probably have never been there. And what they need to understand is it's a different type of city, a town. It's more like it's a city, but it's so quaint. And it's the homes are very close together. I should have you discuss. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I have great, great feelings for that city. And I want to let everybody know that when you walk in Charleston, you're going to see a lot of wrought iron, and you're going to see porches on the side of the houses. And when I first went there, I thought, geez, that's kind of weird. But then,
yes,
you know, everybody takes a tour and learns the history of the whys and the wherefores that are there. I mean, if you really care about what you're mm-hmm. visiting, you're going to pick up stuff and read. And it was because it saved on taxes. Because the frontage,
yes.
it was based on the front, not the side.
Right.
So
right.
I was fascinated. And, you know, as a photographer, what I would do is picture this. Now, you know, because you're there. You would see the wrought iron gate, and then you'd see all this beautiful, like in the summertime, greenery, like, you know, all kinds of vines,
mm-hmm.
and it was just beautiful. I would peek through that wrought iron, and that's how I would take my pictures. And
mm-hmm.
I had some of them sold to a bank. I mean, they were beautiful.
Wow.
Because you have to understand, because something comes alive in a city like that. Savannah's the same way, but there's something there that if you have a decent camera, and I have an Nikon, you are going
yeah.
to get a really good picture no matter what. If you snap enough of them and they've all got an auto winder on it, I mean, you go click, 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 and you're going to get something really, really nice. And I did, and I have. And but now, tell us about why you wanted to get this home with holes. And it speaks for itself. The title speaks for itself. But why?
Yes.
Tell me why. And where did you live when you first moved there? Did you just rent or did you buy a home?
We renovated a small house on James Island. So that's just across the bay from the downtown. It's the island that you connect to before you go to Folly Beach. And so there was a small brick ranch there. And we renovated it. And then we renovated another house in between. And then now we're empty nesters and our kids are gone. And I said,
mm-hmm.
you know, we would really like a little cottage in the downtown. And so we began to look. And our budget with these homes, you have to pay cash because they're in such bad shape, you can't mortgage them. Okay? So
yeah.
it has to be a cash offer. And so our budget was very limited with a cash offer. And so it put us on the side of town that was a little scary. This was a side that's had a little bit of crime in it still. We knew that the city was moving that way, and that kind of encouraged us. But also the street was just quaint. And, you know, often when there's crime in a city, it's not the people that are actually living in the home. It's the people walking through. So it's the people walking through that you may not know. And so that's what we really found in this area is the people that have lived here for some of them for, you know, 40 years, they've passed these homes down. This home, we looked at three. Our realtor was too scared to get out of the car on the third one. He was like, this is, you know, there were drug dealers on the street. There was a lot of activity going on. In the daytime. And this second home, he really said, now, are you guys sure about this, you know, that you want this street? And but there was this house, you know, it had a piazza, which is a side porch.
That's right.
It had a courtyard. It had a courtyard of wrought iron. And it actually frames the corner. It frames the corner, and there's a wrought iron gate. That squeaks. It squeaks to this day. It actually acts as a little alarm for us. So we know somebody's squeaking our gate. Somebody's coming in to knock on the door. And it's a Charleston single house, but it's one story. So many of the ones that you see are two stories with two porches on the side. This one is just a single story. It was originally just two rooms. And we just knew it was the one. I think of houses as love affairs. Like when you meet somebody and you're like, this is the one, you know?
Yeah, right.
We
right.
knew, the relationship with the house. We knew this was the one when we were with it. You know, we were there. We came twice. And Greg stood across from the house and he said, Denise, if you're with me, there's nothing in this house that cannot be fixed. He's a professional, as bad as it looked. And there's pictures in the back of the book. You guys can
yes,
see what
I
it
saw
looked
them.
Like originally.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Tell me something, though.
And
Why did you want something like this instead of going into a better part of town? You must have had it in your mind. It must have called to you. All of this calls to us, I think.
Yes.
You know, it's just like anything else. I mean, it's called divine timing. And so you were taken there, and you were taking down that street and you looked at these homes and you chose this one because you were supposed to. But there must have been something. Was it because it needed so much work and you thought, what a challenge? I mean, why did you choose this one?
It was in our budget, so we could afford it. And you know what it was? I'm a historic docent for the other side of town, so I do know the Charleston history, and I knew this was classic Charleston house, and that appealed to me. Some of the ones around it, this is one of the oldest houses on the street here. A lot of them are built in the 30s and 40s, and this one was in the 20s. This one I knew was classic Charleston, and the other's more of a mill house or front porch, a regular front porch. So this one I knew was that history, and I love that. One of the things I want to say about Charleston, when the South, when Sherman marched through, and you know this, when Sherman marched through, he burned Atlanta, and he came down and burned Columbia. But he left Charleston. And this is kind of, it is reminiscent. There are very few areas like this that were not destroyed in the Civil War. And so these homes, some of them are 1600. There's a pink house that's in the French Quarter. It's called the Pink House, and they think it's 1649.
And there's Rainbow Rose there, too. I don't know how old those homes are.
Those are 1800s, 1700s and 1800s.
Okay, oh, yes. Well, I knew they were old. I mean, everybody wants to see. And for those who don't know what it is, it means they're like a pink and a green and a blue and a yellow. I mean, it's actually Rainbow Rose.
It is.
Really, they're just rainbow colors, all of them.
If you go online.
Everybody wants to go buy those, everybody.
If you go online, you can look up the Pink House in Charleston, and it is 1640s, I believe, it's 1600s, and it's within the old walled city, and so that's the 1600s. That's when the powder building that's down there held the gunpowder was also in part of that.
Yeah.
And so some of those are the older ones in the city. These, as we come out, this was still country back then. So once the crosstown Septima Clark Parkway was put in, over here, these were the workers that worked over in those downtown houses. So this one was owned by the Moultrie family since 1940. When we closed,
I was going to ask you, who were the owners of this? Did you find out the history about them? Was it passed down?
Yes,
is that what happened?
The Moultries in 1940 purchased it, Eugene, and then his son inherited it. And then when Eugene died, the son, then his sister inherited it, and she had not lived in this house since in the 1940s when she was 18 years old. She flew in for the closing on a walker in her 70s, and they had owned it since 1940 as a family. So we are only the third owners. We don't have a lot
of the house
original owners
for all those years, right?
It rented. They rented it. So they rented it out to this one or that. There was a family that lived in here 20 years. And we have a man on our street that lived in this house growing up. From the age of 5, his mother rented this house from the Moultries. And he said he was raised in here. They come in and look at it. It's pretty cool. And he is now in his late 50s. And he was 5 years old in this house.
Wow.
Well, he said
he remembers a lot then. Yeah. Oh, but isn't it awesome to have a house like this that is so old and you can find out from the very beginning somewhere from someone who was here? Why did they leave? All that kind of stuff. Now, but the house was kind of left in disarray, though, right? I mean, it was not.
Right.
Kept
so during
up.
The time,
I know in the book there were dirt floors, which I think was pretty common then. So it was only two rooms, and then what did you do? Just gut the whole thing?
So what we did was we went into the front room. The original house was two rooms. We went into the front room and we spray painted that with paint to clean it. You know, like we cleaned it and then we spray painted it completely, put a rug down. And there was a door on that room, and we lived in that front room like a dorm. And then my husband went in and tore out to the foundation. And it took him a year to get the foundation right. So this has been a 5-year project. So I can
now,
remember when
it had,
closed up
it
the floor.
It had like a makeshift bathroom in it. I mean, what did – I mean, you know,
yes,
two rooms. A kitchen and a front room. And that's what they called living rooms, front rooms. That's what they called them. I can remember my mother talking about the front room. And even my grandmother, but they were from Pennsylvania. But they talked about the front room. And the
front room
was the front room. And it was probably the place where everybody gathered, I'm assuming. So you had a bathroom and then there was another room? Or so there was actually like three rooms in there or what when you first went in?
So the original two.
The original.
And there were original two. And then two bedrooms with a bath in between.
Okay.
So... And then a kitchen that had been an addition that had been built in the 1940s on the back. The part that had been built later was the worst shape. The original two rooms were the strongest. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
They needed very little done. That old 1920s construction needed very little done. But I think that the family was poor when they put the additions on, and they didn't hold up as well. The bathroom was... I call it the creepy bathroom because I always felt like there was a ghost in there. Now, there's a lot more peace. There was a lot more peace right now. But at that time, my hair would stand, you know, like on the back of my neck for no reason. I felt a presence there. Yeah, I call it the creepy bathroom because I'd have to creep in there at night, you know, because I'm older and I have to go to the bathroom at night, you know. So,
yeah, well, and two,
we
I think places like that too, Denise, when they've been empty, there are spirits there that are wandering from many previous years, and they're probably not happy because it's empty. And this is my theory. And because, you know, I'm talking to people, you know, ghosts and spirits, they're not all nasty. Come on, they're not. You welcome them. I was always taught you welcome them. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. But just please don't scare the bejeebers out of me, you know.
Yeah, right.
But they were probably happy that you were in there fixing the place up because it was a mess. And it probably really pleased them, but the one lingered. There's one lingering. Yeah, there is one there, I'm sure of it. I have this feeling.
Yes.
I think it's a lady.
Mm.
And, you know, it's funny because it might not be an inhabitant of the house either. It could be somebody who was a friend of a friend that came
street.
In, you know, somebody that lived there, and it was one of her girlfriends, or it was the older woman's friend. But it was not somebody who lived there. It's just somebody that gravitated to that house because they really liked it. You should feel honored. I think that's wonderful. I'm honored just talking to you because people don't understand my feeling for Charleston. I can't wait to tell my son. I told him I was interviewing you, and he says, "Oh my God, Mother, you're going to be talking so much, you're going to lose your voice." And I said, "Yeah, you walk in town." And, you know, the center, well, there's a part where there's actually where they had slaves. And it's really funny because I don't know if they still have it, but there were these women who would weave baskets. Are they still there?
Yes, they are here.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, they were black ladies. And if you tried to take their picture, they turned their face. They didn't want their picture taken. I tried every because I had a nice camera. I tried all the time. I couldn't trick them to save myself.
Wave
and then I was respectful, and, you know. And my son said, "Well, Mom, why don't you take the picture?" I said, "Because I don't want to do that. They're doing that for a reason. It's to protect them, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to invade in that. I don't. I'm just too respectful. I mean, I respect stuff like that.
Yes.
But there's a lot of stuff there. There's the jail there, and so let's go back to your house and your book. I mean, I'll get carried away with Charleston. I mean, it's
I'm walking down the street
with you, Denise. Don't you know it?
I know. I took a picture.
I know. One day I'll come up there and we'll meet. I want to see this house. But anyways, so you bought this house and you probably stood in there and thought, "Oh my God, what did we get into?"
Mm-hmm. I know.
Now, where did you stay?
The more
in the meantime, did you rent? You rented someplace. You went someplace and just stayed, or?
No, we actually lived in that front room. So we used that as a dorm.
Oh, from the time you
and
bought
I
it. That, bless you.
Yes, yes. And so we stayed in that front room, and I put, I made a little kitchen. It was like we were living in a dorm room, and my kids were like, Mom and Dad, what are you doing? You know,
like a little,
little burner
for your hot stuff, and
yes,
probably, right?
Hot, yeah, microwave, yeah. And so it took us about 6 months to get to where we had the kitchen, where the kitchen belonged, even though it was makeshift. But, and that's when we had, see, when it was, oh, the floors were open and he was working on foundation, that's when we had the critter come in. And I said, yeah, and I said to him, I said, no, Greg, I can't do that. You know, I think that raccoon had lived under the house. And so he was just being at home. You know what I mean? Like, and so he was able to. We cordoned off with, he had already had drape cloths, but we put up a little more plywood and plugged all those holes up to, you know, feel like we weren't going to be bit in the night. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, oh, yeah, crawled on. I mean, he could just go inspecting and find out, well, what is it? Who? What is this in my house? This is my house.
I
and
know,
you got to remember
right.
that. They take over. That is theirs, and they get ownership. Yeah.
I know, they do.
Yeah.
That. Like any city, raccoons kind of run, you know, around at night. And so, you know, but we've, since he did that, and I didn't have that happen again, so I was able to feel okay. Once we got built back and my husband had repaired everything, I felt like it got a little easier. We had very few closets. It's a tiny house. It's only 1,042 square feet.
Oh, that
so,
is very small, I know.
It's very small, but for just the two of us, you know, it made it
but you're living
workable.
In history. Look what you're living
yes,
in.
Yes, we are.
It's,
and
it's,
we and we feel like we have, we
and
own a treasure. Yeah. We own
you
a
do.
Treasure now. So
you do.
Yes.
And people that are not familiar with South Carolina or Charleston, or even I'm closer to Savannah, but even any of that, like right now, you know, it's been in the 70s here. Now it's going to go down. We get our colder
mm-hmm.
days. But
yes.
next week it's going to be near 70 again. And you feel that too. I mean, it's like it really fluctuates now. It can get cold. What kind
yes.
of heating did they have there? I mean, what was it? That's what I want to ask you.
So there's a center fireplace with two sides. And so there's a fireplace on the kitchen side and a fireplace on the living room, front room side. So they cooked and they heated with that fireplace. That's the original. We, of course, will have a heat pump put in, but that fireplace, we had that repointed. I talk about that in the book. That has really become a focal point of the house, and there is a picture of the fireplace in the back of the book as well. It's kind of a beautiful, really gives the age of the house, and we kept it 1920s, so we didn't make it prettier than it was. We just cleaned up the mortar, and the men that did that did a very nice job on that. So
people don't know what a heat pump. A heat pump is, it supplies you with heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. It's a one unit.
Yes.
And you have a thermostat. I mean, I have one. And, you know, there's no gas furnaces. There's none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine this, they didn't have any air when they lived there. That house must have been hotter than everything in the summertime.
I know.
Because it gets really hot and humid. It's not like Florida. Florida is
mm-hmm.
very tropical. I mean, but our humidity can be awful. I mean, they'll knock you out when you walk
yes.
out. It'll just knock you right out. It's that powerful. I know this past summer
yes.
it was really warm. But, you know, I'm originally from Michigan. So, oh, you're not going to. I went back
oh.
there one time because my best friend passed away. That's the only reason I went back. I would never go back again. I hated Michigan, and I'm sorry, you Michiganders who say, oh, it's so pretty here in the fall. Yeah, but the fall doesn't last very long. And when you come to the South, and South Carolina has beautiful mornings.
Yes, it does.
You can sit outside on your front porch, on your side porch.
Yes. Yes.
I have a back porch. And you can drink your coffee or whatever you have and have a little something, and it's just, you just feel I just feel really close to God when I'm, and I didn't feel that in Michigan at all, but I bet you feel it in Charleston.
Yes.
Charleston is very, very unique. Everybody should go there. But now, okay, so what did he do with the floors? I mean, you had some dirt floors, right? Some of it wasn't, but some of it was,
yeah,
when he had to go tearing up stuff. Is
he
that
had,
what he ended up doing?
He,
and
yeah,
he ended
he
up
tore
to the dirt,
up.
Right?
Yes, he took it down to the dirt, and then he had to put new floor systems in. And so we have done that, and we have put hardwood, wide pine, old pine floors back in so that it's more reminiscent of what the house would have been.
I bet you it's beautiful. It's
got
to be beautiful.
It is pretty. It's pretty. It is a respectful renovation. The other thing that's unique, too, that my husband is a craftsman. He's one of the reasons it took so long is he's a perfectionist. But we took the siding, the wood siding off the side of the house, and my husband planed that. And on three walls, we have accent shiplap from that siding. So we've done shiplap with that wood. And that wood is from the 1920s. You can't get wood like that anymore. You have to rescue
no,
it.
No, oh, no.
You know, so.
No.
Yeah, so we saved all that. And our bedrooms each have an accent wall of the old siding and our living room. So,
so
you know,
it's got
he's
two bedrooms, a
nice
bath,
touches.
And a front room. And a kitchen.
Yes. And a kitchen, and a utility room that we've got on the back with a little storage, and then we have a 9x27 patio in the back. Our yard is 9x27, so it's very small. The courtyard is about 20x10 in the front. That's the only ground that is not. It's built on the lines, and so everything's very tight. But we're thankful for that backyard. You know, that's a nice
place. Yeah, now what about a washer and dryer? I'm assuming you have that there, right?
Yes, we did, but the renters that we that left when the house was sold, they didn't have anything but one tin, so they couldn't have a dryer. And the lady had a clothesline, if you can believe that. Even in 2012, she was using a clothesline and she had a washer. So very primitive. There was a outhouse here where the bathroom wing used to be. So they at one time there was an outhouse called the Privy, and they put the bathroom in then in the 40s when the Moultries bought the house. So my husband found remnants of that Privy when he was down there.
So
and
now
he, you, know,
so
he,
you
he
do have a washer and a dryer now?
Yes, so we put in 220. We redid all the power.
220 lines,
yep. There is a story where we almost lost the house to a fire. I don't know if you read saw that. There's a chapter in there called Where There's Smoke, There's Fire.
I saw that. Yes,
and,
I read that. Yes.
God, y'all just saved it for us. I mean, I got home in time, and it was, you know, came from the old wiring. So, you know, this is not something that you should take on as an individual unless you really know what you're doing as a professional. My husband he could hold licenses in every single area, so electrical, plumbing, and construction.
Awesome.
So
see that's why you were able to do that.
Learned,
but you see, that house, that was waiting for
it.
You. It was waiting for you.
Yes, it was.
It was waiting
was.
For the right
I know
owners.
That.
I believe houses are like that, those kinds of houses, not like my house, but your house. Any house that's like that, no matter where it is, if it's an older home, it's waiting for the right owners. And then, you could write a book about that. It's like it has its own personality. Oh, well, I don't like
it
these
does.
Owners. Mm-mm, nope, I'm going to make it awful for them. We're going to make sure that they don't stay. We're going to be knocking on the on the walls. And you know what I'm saying? That's how I believe old homes are. I believe when they have the right owners, they're happy. And it smiles.
Mm.
That's how I feel about your house.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about your house.
Yes, I feel that too. You know, when we first came, there wasn't a lot of peace here, but we do feel that peace now. And then the neighborhood, you know, we had that incident early on, but they were looking at us. We're going to be tearing down parts of this. And then we kept, of course, all the original rooms and everything, but the wing was so rotten, it had to be redone. But they have just been, they've loved my husband. They have been, it's been the tightest community I've ever lived in. The most wonderful, beautiful people in the world live on these streets. I mean that.
Yep.
It is,
and the homes are close together,
you know, in the suburbs,
everyone that's listening.
We didn't even know our neighbors.
Yeah,
yeah,
the suburbs,
they're
close together.
We didn't even know our neighbors, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here we do. Yeah, so it's
yeah.
It's been really
and, you know, you
a
could
great
you could
thing.
Walk up and down and they'll say hi, because I had to take care of this little baby while my girlfriend and her daughter had to have some stuff done at the hospital. So I had this, I was wheeling this baby around with probably, oh, let's see, she was probably 6 or 7 weeks old, okay? She was in a stroller. Mm-hmm. And I went, and, you know, the walkways, the walks, the sidewalks there are not the greatest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like not brand new. You're going to have ups and downs and things are sticking up. But I'm going to tell you, I was walking, I mean, I talked to everybody. Can you imagine me not talking to everybody? But I would say hello, and they'd say, oh, is that your baby? No, it's not my baby. I'm just taking care of her. And well, where are you going to go? And I said, well, I'm going to go around. The blocks were huge. I mean, they were big.
Mm.
To go around the block, you would have thought you were walking a
yes.
mile. So I went around, and I said, well, I'll see you in a while, because I'm going to come back this way. And I come back, and then there were more people out there that I could talk to. And it's
yeah.
If you, and this is for people who, no matter where you live, I have found that if you smile and say hi or good morning or how are you or something, they most people will say something back to you. I mean, they just mm-hmm. know that you have a good heart. They just know. I mean, I know mm-hmm. right away, and I'm sure you do too, Denise, that people kind of will, some people will look at you like, well, what is this? I mean, what is she doing? Or, you know,
yes.
they thought I lived in the neighborhood. No. No, I'm from further south. I'm near close to Savannah. And then they wanted to know about Savannah and what's it like there. And I said, but look where you live. I mean, you live in a very, oh, yeah, but Savannah's historical. I said, yes, it is. But it's not as big as Charleston.
Yes.
take it back. It's got a million. Savannah has a million people. I don't know how many. I guess it is bigger than Charleston now that I think about it. I don't know.
You know
how
what?
Many,
I think it might be. We have.
I don't know what the population is of Charleston, but every summer we went there, Denise, and I smiled. Mm-hmm. I just. And what they would do, and you can attest to this, is that they would take sometimes an old. We say that this it was a Hampton Inn that was renovated to a Hampton Inn. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't that in the beginning. And if you,
okay.
I looked out the window and I sat there and watched the construction of this building next to it, a little bit, you could see, it wasn't right next to it, but I could see it. It was a college and they were turning it into a hotel.
Oh.
I walked over there and I picked everybody's brain because I wanted to know. I mean, I wanted to know all about it. You know, my husband would laugh. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want to know the history of this. I want to. I love it here." He said, "Well, I know you do. Why don't you just move here?" And I said, "Well, I can't." You know, and he would tease me about it because I just loved it. And see, I'm talking to somebody that you are there. You know the feeling. That I had just as a
yes.
visitor, but you live there now, so you know what
yes.
I'm talking about. I mean,
right.
that's what
and
I did.
It is.
And most of the old, a lot of the old buildings were converted into hotels. And
right.
this one was a small college. I don't remember the name of it. And you could
it,
see all the little windows
the
where
there?
The dorms were.
Was
I mean,
it
was. Oh my! I was.
Yeah.
I took pictures. I was captivated by it. I took pictures of everything though.
Wow.
That was me. You know, now everybody takes their cell phones, but you know, there's something
yes.
about a real camera that captures.
With a shutter,
I mean, the
right?
the cell phones can, but you know, you almost have to line things up with a cell phone, a camera, and a cell phone. And I have a Samsung S10. It's powerful, but
okay.
you just aim and shoot. I like to kind of. Put it in my frame. You know why? Because I'm just, I like
yes.
the pictures. I like to frame it and everything. So, yeah. So,
Natalie, I hope
there,
that you
no.
get by this house then. And you're able
I will.
To
well, you know,
it.
I mean, you're 90 minutes away from me. I'm going to be picking,
yes.
I'm going to be telling my son, we've got to get up there. I have to see Denise, and I have to see her house. This is a must
yes.
in my life. Oh, he'll take me. My
yes.
And my granddaughter, she loves stuff like this, too. She's 15. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
She would just love it. Just love it. I've never been to Charleston with her. You know, I mean, we'll end up talking
Hampton
and talking.
Park
we won't shut up.
And...
Your husband will probably say, geez, look at these two. We'll go for a walk. Who don't you know? I'll go introduce you to them. But she likes stuff like that, and she sees things like I do. And she'll come over now. Next Monday she's coming. We're going to make cookies. And she always takes me aside, and she says, I got to tell you some things that I've seen. She just loves talking about it because she knows how I believe, you know. And she knows I really do. She knows I really do. But so tell me something. This was hard on your marriage. I know that's was probably a tough thing with you, right?
Yes, it is. And I'm a marriage counselor. And so began to realize, yes, I'm a marriage counselor. And so I began to realize the parallel between the love for the house and the love and commitment we have for each other. Just as this house had holes that just kept showing up. Well, in marriage, we have holes in us that, you know, continually come up, and we've got to work through them. And so I kind of made that a kind of that visual, comparison. And then those construction breaks are the paradigm that I use with my couples. And as we had issues, I'll bring in that construction break to kind of parallel. It isn't a traditional self-help book. It's my story only. But
it is your story, there's no doubt.
And you know what? Why not, as a marriage counselor, not put in some principles about relationships to help people connect better? Maybe, you know, in the argument that Greg and I are having at the time and the way that I feel, because I'm really big on empathy and empathizing with how each other is feeling and going
through.
Oh, and
I'm an empath. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm an empath.
So,
you know, but this must have been a strain on you because, you know, everybody's listening and saying, oh, this was just so perfect. Well, no, come on, people. It wasn't perfect. Because there are things that happen, and like you probably would get, when is he going to get this done? I'm getting sick of living in this front room. I mean, you had probably thoughts like that. I mean, nobody's perfect, so nobody has this perfect personality that you have feelings like, this is just taking too long, you know, and stuff like that. Probably him too.
I would say I am done. I am so done with this. And Greg, because of his perfectionism and wanting to touch every aspect, it drug the project out. When if we could have had crews come in, then they would have got it done quicker. But the bottom line is, some of the touches that people are going to see in this house are here because he spent the time. And, you know, the quality of time. So this house will be a treasure, and we hope it's going to stand for another 100 years at least, and that, you know, many families will be blessed to be here. So, but there were times when I was just didn't know if I could keep going because there's no closets. The dust is hard. I remember when our master bedroom got done and how wonderful that felt. It's a tiny space, and there's no place to put tools. And so my husband's tools are everywhere. That's a huge thing with me is the tools, because we had a shop and a garage in other places. We have a storage unit now that helps. So we've managed, but I'll tell you, I am really tired of some of the mess that goes with this. And I have friends, and they'll be replacing their floor for 3 months. And, you know, like different things in their house, they'll have it tore up. And they'll come to me and go, Denise, how in the world have you made this? Because they've got a little mess for 3 months or 3 weeks
that's true.
Or whatever.
And they can go to another room and stay away from that room. I mean, you know what I'm
that's
saying?
Right.
They can go into a completed room. They don't have to be in a whole mess of a house, you know, you, no matter where you walked, you could see.
That's
I mean, I have
was.
This.
Yeah.
I have this idea of what it looks like inside. And I'm just thinking that you know, gradually you would get things done, but then something else had to be done before that other part was done so that you could get that other part done. And people have to understand construction is not like, well, okay, we do this, then we do this. But then you encounter something else that needs to be finished before you can go back and do what else needs to be done. That's what happens in building, especially in renovation with something.
Yes.
And it's not like building a new house from scratch. You know, it's a lot simpler and a lot easier. My hat, I tip my hat off to you and bow to you because...
Well, thank you.
I mean, I lived in a home when I first got married. It was 800 square feet. It had two bedrooms and one bath. No doors on the closet. It wasn't dirt floor, but it was in it was in Detroit. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, that area, and it was not in a good neighborhood. And you walk through the living room, and I'm kind of visualizing this, and there was a kitchen, and then you walk straight back with my washer and dryer. I mean, it was like you could hardly move anywhere. I mean, you know, you walked right into the living room from the front door. Well, we ended up putting a little bit of a foyer there because my family was in ceramic tile and porcelain and that kind of stuff. That's what my son does.
Mm.
And so, you know, the family came, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and my then-husband. They fixed it up and redid the cabinets in my kitchen, and it was god-awful. But
it was
really cheap.
But
you know what?
Good.
We made it, and I'm kind of thinking about you. We made it our home, and that's where I had my son. My son was born when I lived in that house. And it's torn down, believe it or not. They tore it down.
Wow.
And the home that I was raised in Detroit, right in Detroit, that's torn down too. My son said to me, "What did you do to these homes?" I said, "Both of the homes from my childhood and my younger life were torn down." Made me sad.
Oh, I know.
You know, because
and see, that's
well, one of them, I think, probably caught on fire,
mind.
And the other one was probably a home of derelicts. I think, you know, because Detroit is not known for, when I lived there, it was wonderful. You could walk anywhere you wanted. I mean, I know you hear horror stories about Detroit, but I went to beauty school down there, and I'm telling you, Denise, I took buses
it was safe,
by myself.
Huh?
Yeah, and I ended up in this little, like, an alcove to wait for the second bus. Nobody was there. All the little shops were closed up. It was just me standing there with my little case from beauty school. And I wasn't
afraid.
And you
were safe,
ever.
Huh?
I was safe. Yes, I was safe. And so I was, you know, raised in that kind of atmosphere. Maybe that's why I'm more, I just talk to people. I mean, I give everybody a chance is my thing. And so, you know, that's how I've always been. But you being there now, you know, it was probably very scary. I mean, what you took on was a lot.
Yes.
So you went from where you lived, you found this house, and then you just moved your stuff in, even though it was in disarray, right?
Right. We brought in and we got a storage unit, and we put the bulk of we downsized too. So we really got rid of things too we had our family home. So we downsized from that, and then we moved into the front room in a makeshift with a storage unit. We still have that storage unit. But my husband has tools and we need to keep those, and it's kind of our garage. We look at it as our garage. And so we are still, the book came out in October. And we will finish up the inside by the end of this December, if you can believe that. So we are just done.
Wow.
People were saying to me, Denise, there aren't that many finished pictures. Well, that's because we're still working on it.
That's right.
Today, this is interesting. This is interesting, Natalie. Today, if you go and join my author page on Facebook, you can see.
I've already
put
got
pictures
your site
of
up.
The floors.
Oh, on your author page on Facebook. Okay.
Yes.
I will do that.
There's a picture of the floors. You can go to Denise, it's Denise Mance Broadwater, on Facebook. Join, and I think I have it public. But and then there's an author page there that you can like. And then I put all things about the book there. And I said, I'm giving you guys a sneak peek today. You can see the rafters, those are original to the house. There's a part of the fireplace that it shows, and the new floors that we just put in. So. In the kitchen, you'll see some of that. So there's a lot of fun things throughout. You know, my husband and I had a good foundation when we started. We loved each other. We highly respected each other. This house, over time, took its toll on us in ways. But it also, we are closer in ways because of the struggle as well. So it's both. And as empty nesters, we need to revitalize because we're not co-parenting anymore. So we've needed to revitalize
yeah.
that friendship.
All right. So. I went to you on Facebook. It's Denise Mast Broadwater, and I'm following
Broadwater.
You. So you just, yeah, you
okay.
have to just accept it. But and you have an emptynestmarriage.com thingy here too, right?
Yes, that's a blog that I write. So, and then
awesome.
That blog is just on daily things that I come up and want to write something on. And then I have Friedman's Cottage Renovations.com on the back of the book, blogspot.com. That
yes.
one is the
okay.
actual, since 2014, that's the actual blog for the house. And so it's a very,
oh my
much
gosh,
more,
I see the picture. Oh, you've got, everybody's got to go see this. You can see her floors. You can see the fireplace. You can see her
yes.
kitchen. She, oh, Denise, how beautiful. Oh my goodness. It is beautiful.
So you can see the way it was and our journey through that. And so that kind of, that blog was like a precursor to the book. The book is more about our relationship through it and also just good events. It's just a good story. The blog is more blow by blow. Every so few months I would write something. That blog has 93,000 views. 9,300
wow.
views, excuse me. 9,300 views and 9 countries.
I'm going to have you write for my magazine.
Really?
I am going to do that. You know, Helen, your publicist, and I
yes.
Are good buddies. She has sent me a lot of authors, and she said to me before, you know, we scheduled something, how would you like to interview her? I said, oh, my God, are you kidding? She's in my state. You got to be joking. I was so excited. She wrote me back. She said, oh, I can just feel your enthusiasm. I said, get her. That's it. Done. Yes. So, what I'll do is I have your email address, but I'll go through her and she'll get stuff from you, and I would be happy to
yes.
put something all the time in my magazine, and I'll take you'll
Thank
go back they'll
you.
Go back to your website. You can even
yes.
you can get excerpts from your book and let people know. Sometimes what I do, because I put it all up myself, is I will I'll put a little something at the bottom, OPS, and I'll just say, you know, I had her on my show, and this is the date, and this is the link
yes.
if you'd like to listen. And then
okay.
you, tomorrow, I will have in my blog on Star Psychics, I have a blog that I've had for 8 years now, I'll put
okay.
something in it about the radio show, and I will put it out. You should have seen your video. You will see the video that Candy, she's in the chat room right now. She did this video for you. And there's a picture of me. It's just so nice. It's on Instagram, and I'm following you on Instagram,
okay.
by the way, too.
Oh, good.
And
good.
She did this there. It's posted there. It's in Facebook. It's in Twitter. And then what happens after the show is over, I tweet it, and it goes over to Twitter. And then I go on
okay.
my page, or Candy will do it, and we'll tweet it again, and then it goes to Facebook. I put it everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, and then... I have a lot of people that they love to hear things like this. They love
okay.
to hear background stuff. And
yes.
you know, with your permission, of course, we could put some pictures of what it was like and what it's like now.
Yes.
Oh my
Absolutely.
Gosh, you get a lot of interest. So yes, I will be contacting either you through your email, whatever you prefer, or through Helen. I mean, Helen and I call each other sister. I don't know why.
I see that. I saw that.
Yeah,
we just have a connection.
Love to use this.
And you don't
she'll call me, and we just hit it off. And she's top drawer that one. All of the ones that I have are top drawer. But sometime either spring when it's nice or early when
yes.
it doesn't get too, I'm going to come and visit you with my son and my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law. And
Please
I want my
that.
Daughter and my granddaughter especially to see your house. She has
yes.
been in Charleston, but not like what I'm going to show her. She has no
yeah.
clue. No clue. And just give me
well,
your hand and let's walk.
It is a beautiful city.
It
yes.
is. It
There's
is
so
very
much.
Beautiful. It
yeah.
it is. And you're in the right place. And I just feel so good for you in this house. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I can't wait to meet
that
you.
This house
I feel
came
like
back
I've known
mine.
You for years. You know, I told
Is
you before
right?
we went on the air, we'll be talking the whole hour. There'll be nonstop. There won't be any dead air. No dead time. No. I don't. I don't do that anyways. And I had this one gentleman I interview, and he says, "Do you ever stop talking?" And I said, "Yes, I can be very shy." He said, "Well, I haven't seen it. I've had him on the show 3 times, and he's a motivational speaker, though." And he laughs. Of course he's going to see that in me, right? But I love what I do. I love hearing stories about people and how they did their books, and your book is beautiful. It's from the heart, and it's truth. Mm-hmm. It's truth.
It's truth,
truth.
And,
you
know, I hope that it's going to be a story that will bless people in their life, and they can take something away from the story. So,
they will.
You know, that they can remember and know.
Now,
and,
your book can be got. You can get your book anywhere. You're on Amazon and all of that, right? I take it.
I'm on Amazon,
everywhere.
Target, Barnes and Noble, and there is a Barnes and Noble here in Mount Pleasant that's carrying my book, which is pretty amazing that they picked that up because I am a debut, and then the Mountain View Press also, and then my website. If you even emailed me at denisebroadwater@gmail.com, I can send books too. So I'll be glad to do that as well.
Okay,
so
I have your book.
Amazon,
you know,
is easy.
Helen said to me, "You want this?" And I wrote her back. I said, "You're joking, right? You're joking with me." I said, "Of course I want this book." Because usually when I interview somebody, I get the book. Because I like to hold
it. She said that.
I like to feel the cover. I like to feel the cover. And the cover, I want to tell you, has this really nice feel. Some books are like a little bumpy. Yours is a smooth, nice feeling. See, that's important to me. And the cover is important. You know, I won't even open a book unless I like the cover. Isn't
that
stupid?
Right?
I mean, that's just plain dumb. Yeah. I know.
No,
but everybody is attracted.
That's the first impression. So,
yeah,
the first
I have
impression.
To. Yes,
it's like
I
looking at somebody's face. So.
Yeah, I have to feel it, to touch the book, and I have to look at it. And if I like it, then I'm going to open it. If it gives me a nice feeling, and you have to get her book, everybody. A House with Holes. You'll just see the cover. Go on her site, which is Denise Broadwater, DeniseBroadwater.com. Go there, and you're going to see her a little bit about the book, her blog. And on your blog page, you've got pictures, because I'm scrolling around here. You've got all kinds of pictures you're autographing. And when I come up there, you're going to autograph my book, because I didn't get it autographed.
Yeah, that's right. So please do that.
That'll be a given.
Yeah, and
you'll
then
say,
if you
where's
order
the book?
From
let me,
me
sign it.
if
so
you
now
order
where are you
going
to be? Are you trying to do a lot of promotion with this, or what?
Oh, my. I have been on TV in Atlanta. I just got off of Casey Armstrong, his World's Most Amazing People radio broadcast, 1.5 million listeners. He did a 30-minute interview.
Wonderful.
I have been so fortunate for my first book to have the interest. I know, Natalie, some of this is Charleston. I feel like the book is well-written and keeps your attention, but at the same time, Charleston is such a draw. I've been so blessed with that. So
it is.
It's a huge
draw. It would be
draw.
Just like if you lived in Savannah, but Charleston is different than Savannah.
It is.
The way the homes are, and everybody has to understand that lots are not very big. They're narrow. Everything is on the side. I mean, you know, you're going to see some really nice homes on corners. I remember walking by them that they only had, like, they were turned into hotels, but there was, like, only... You could only have, like, six visitors. I mean, they were... all renovated, but it wasn't like this big, huge hotel with all these rooms. No, it were the old homes, and you could walk. I mean, I would be dragging, and I'd be with my in-laws, and everybody would say, "What's taking you so long?" I said, "You guys are missing the most important part. You are not looking at the homes." If I could have knocked on their door and said, "Can I come in?" I would have done it. But they were with me.
They say in the 1700s it was the wealthiest city in America in the 1700s because all the merchant ships would come in here. A lot of English, and French.
Now that mart that's in there, do they still sell things in there where they have the ladies making the baskets at the ends of them?
Yes.
Do they still sell stuff?
And that's been That's been renovated. Part of that is air conditioned now, but it's
an open air market. When I went there, it was hotter than Hades there. Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So
it
there's
so
part
hot
of that has
there.
Been air
fans?
Conditioned. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So yeah, some of that.
And there's
been,
a jail
that,
there.
Been,
I know there's a jail. That jail, is probably still there. Yep.
It's still there.
Now I'm going to tell you something
and,
else. The last time I was there, we walked off the beaten path only because of me, because I had my camera. Okay. And so we went to this church, and it was all boarded up, and I looked at it, and my husband said to me, what's wrong? And I said, well, we have to go in the cemetery. He said, why? Like that, why? I said, come with me. I want to show you something. I just knew. And to everybody that's listening, they buried them above the ground because of the water table. Because
water table, yeah.
The water table is always high. They would have, all of, well, I hate to say
they
this, but the body probably would have rose to the top anyhow. But I looked at all of the stones that were there, the gravestones, and, I mean, there were little infants that were like 2 days old, a month old, and you knew, I mean, this was probably in the 1800s. I mean, this was an old cemetery. Alongside the church, and he said, and I was, you know, I was taking pictures, but I was very respectful, and he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, look, the disease, probably simple disease like, you know, pneumonia, things that we have medicines for, they didn't have medicines for, so the babies died. Whooping cough?
Yes.
The babies probably
whooping
died.
Cough, yeah.
But it was, I didn't feel sad. I didn't feel sad in that cemetery. Mm-hmm. And they were renovating it. I'm sure they've renovated a lot of those big old churches. They're probably still doing it. It's a many-year project. You don't get those done in a year. They're just mammoth.
No. The steeples are
mammoth.
So high. And yeah, they're and often you'll see them covered when they're outside doing work on those, the scaffolding will cover the entire side of the church, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So now
that
what do you do? Are you working in Charleston right now? Or are you counseling?
I took off 6 months sabbatical. I was in a psychiatrist's office in Mount Pleasant, right across the bridge. And I was with him 5 years. And so I took off 6 months. My husband's given me a break, and I needed it. And I'm so busy with the book, I'll be honest with you. I've done 2 interviews today. And so it would have been hard for me to counsel the number that I was doing at the time.
Well, no,
so,
you need
I'll
this
start
time
back up,
to promote this in the proper way. And you're doing a fabulous job. You really are.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
that. And, you
that.
Know, we're going to have something in the January issue of my magazine. And I want everybody to, I'll post it. You see, when I do my blog, if it's something that's done by me and it's not picked up by, I have a content writer. And if she, you know, like she'll do stuff about what happened 100 years ago from today and all of that. That kind of stuff I don't promote. I just leave it on the blog. But if it's something that I've done personally and there's energy healing cards on there that is a friend of mine, those I promote. So I will promote that, and you will see it on Facebook now that I'm following you. Now, you have another page.
Okay.
I want to make sure that you have just Denise.
I have my page, Denise Mass Broadwater, and then I have Denise Mass Broadwater, author. So I have a page as well that's just the book.
I'm gonna follow that.
And
one
you know
too,
what?
So I
started out, Natalie. I started out with under 1,200, 1,400 friends, and I'm already up to almost 3,000. And it's been 60 days.
Yeah, bless you. It doesn't surprise me at all. You're deserving of it. You really, really are.
That platform
is
building itself. And
right, exactly. And word gets around because somebody will share something. I don't really do Facebook all that much. I have my Candy, and I have to thank her on the air because she does a fabulous job. She does all that. She started doing videos for everybody, and what a fabulous job. And I'm going to make sure that you see it. Well, you'll see it if you follow me on Instagram. You'll see it on my page.
Okay.
It's there. The video
and then
is there.
I wanted to let you know, too, that you can hashtag a house with holes. That has its own hashtag. And
okay.
So if you want to hashtag that on Instagram, you know, what you're doing.
I will.
And
I will.
And then, yeah, that'll get to
I'll help you as much as I can.
That's
what I do.
Listen, thank you for that.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's
awesome.
I honor you because you wrote a book. You know, everybody knows I have a fairy tale that I've partially written, a fairy tale. And basically, it's a love story, but it's a fairy tale. And I just, you remember those books that had the a spine? It was like, what was it called? The golden books? Remember those books for kids?
Yeah, those little golden
Well, this is not, this
books?
Is for more like my granddaughter's age, because she actually took it last year when she went into the 9th grade and she read it. What I had written, she added a little bit of an ending. She read it to her teacher. Well, then the teacher said, I want you to read this to the class. And she said, really? Well, she came home and called me. She says, Graham, you're not going to believe this. She said, they loved the story. I said, well, that's because it's from within. You know what I'm saying? Like, your book is from within, you know?
Yeah.
And you're going to be happy in that home. Yeah, I don't ever feel that you're not going to be happy, and if you that little
Isn't
lady that's wandering around there, she's happy
yes.
too. She's very happy
Good.
To have you there.
Good.
So, anyways, we'll end
it.
The show here, and I'm so happy you came on my show. And I want to let everybody know we will not be on the next 2 weeks because next Wednesday is Christmas, and then the following Wednesday is New Year's. But I will be back. I have my calendars full, almost way into February already with wonderful authors, and I'm going to have you back, Denise. When you get this other book published,
thank you.
You have to come back. That's it. That's the deal.
Okay. Oh, appreciate
That's the deal.
It. That's awesome.
And
so good
I'll
to
keep
meet
you posted
you
as to when I'm coming up to see you. I can't wait. Oh my God.
I know. Let me know. Keep my
It'll
email.
Be fun. It'll be fun because
you guys have.
Go ahead. What?
It was so fun, and thank you for having me on. And
oh,
your
no, my
support
honor.
Of Charleston
no.
and the history, and it was a pleasure. And thank you for reading and getting the book. So that means
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, you know, as soon as I felt it, I knew this is it. This is a good
mm-hmm.
one. This is a good
yeah.
one. Always feel the books. Always look at the covers. It'll give you a sense of what's inside. So anyways,
yes.
without, you know,
okay.
I have a nice holiday, and I'm sure I will email you or talk to you again. And everybody, please have a nice Christmas and a nice New Year's, a safe one. Do things for people, even if you don't get anything in return. Talk to everybody like I do. It'll make your soul feel really good. That's what I do. I mean, I say hello. My goddaughter says to me, you'll never have trouble in an airport. I said, why? She says, because you'll ask somebody, can you help me over here? And they'll come running to you because they'll see this look on you that I'm going to help her. She says, I don't think anybody would not help you. And I said, well, my competitors probably wouldn't. But anyways, everybody have a nice holiday. Take care. Be safe. And as I always end my shows, and listen to this, Denise, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Denise. Take care.
Good night.
Thank you.